Morning, everyone. We're going to give you a little bit of a spiritual shock treatment this morning in my exhortation. The theme of my exhortation is taken from the readings and of the Last Supper, when each one turned to their master, a little embarrassed, and they asked him, "Lord, is it I?" And that is the theme of our exhortation. Because the spiritual shock treatment will come in this manner. To each one of you, and me especially, when we look upon this bread and wine, if we are willing to examine ourselves and no one else, then we will, I am sure, each one of us will say in our hearts, "Jesus, we remember the pain that you suffered when the nails were driven into your hand and your feet." And we shall ask ourselves, "Lord, it is I that has caused that pain." And so the theme of the exhortation comes in this way: "Lord, is it I?" And the key word of my exhortation this day is attention. Because that's where we fail before our God. We don't always have attention heavenward, but a lot of the time it's mostly those things of the earth. I wondered at some time in my life that different things happen, spasmodic, unplanned for, and they have quite an effect on the way that I look heavenward. And so it was this morning that our organist or pianist, I selected some of my favorite hymns that most of you know, and she said, "No, Papa, we're not having those today." So being the person I am, I kept calm, didn't get excited for too long. And she chose for me, which I think is wonderful, she chose for me the hymn 418. And if you've been reading those words and letting them go into your hearts, you will see that the whole contents of that hymn is my exhortation. So I could sit down and read these words from the hymn to you, and you will know the contents of my exhortation. Because I believe that we don't give the attention to God and Jesus Christ as we should. And that is not altogether the criticism. It is a concern that if we don't do this, that we could lose out on our salvation, as we shall discover in the reading of this hymn. What is this telling us? My exhortation is to tell us that it's unbelievable what this God in the heaven, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, gives so much attention to us, as we shall see. The verse is here: "New every morning is the love, our awakening and up our eyes improve. Through sleep and darkness safely born. Through the night time, God has his attention upon each one of us, that we might have the safety of the night, that we might be exposed and become part of a new day." And it continues, the beautiful words in this hymn, as I say, little need for my exhortation. So may we in our sleeping, waking hours, our master serve with all our powers. And while we serve, oh, may we be as thou hast as a Lord like thee. And that is the way it is. And so, brothers and sisters and young people, we have to aware that this is not an ordinary day. The world has made this day an ordinary day. This is not an ordinary day to the children of God. It is a day when the Almighty is concerned about our eternal salvation. He's concerned that maybe we lost sight what great sacrifice he has done for us. And so he said, "My angels, gather my saints together, those who have made a sacrifice with me, and let them be exposed to the fact, the bread and the wine, that this is the greatest love that can be done in offering up a son who is not sinful, offering up then my only son, my only beloved son, I offered him in a sacrifice for you, my brethren and sisters. So what are you doing? Concern, spiritual shock, and this is the way it is. And so this is a special day because our Heavenly Father has brought us together that we might be involved for the sole purpose of developing our spiritual way of living. So we know, and this isn't a haphazard thing, this attention of a God in heaven is not for a 20th century scene, but it, as we know, has continued from the beginning, because in the Garden of Eden, the God Almighty, the only true living God, recognized that he wanted to have pleasure in the creation of men and women and young people to glorify his name, to have harmony with him, to have sweet fellowship with him, and so he recognized the weakness of mankind. He reckoned right there in the Garden of Eden, he recognized the weakness of man that they could move quickly from his attention and from his presence. And when a mother takes a child shopping, her biggest concern is that a child doesn't get lost. And she will have one eye on the things of the present, she will have another eye on the child. Because we know history proves that young people get lost quite easily if they have not the full attention of their mother or their parents. And so it was that in the Garden of Eden, God recognized this, and he gave full attention. And upon the clouds in the garden was this, the attention to it. Because he wanted to take hold of them and motivate these individuals. And all this is not done. All this proceed of the Almighty God was not God so that God could reign in the heavens and say, look what control I have on these people. They are nothing more than robots. They have to obey me because I tell them if they don't, I'm going to punish them. That wasn't it. That wasn't the situation. This is the loving God. And this loving God, as we know, his motivation for his attention to them so that these people might develop into a God-like people, that they might have this unbelievable harmony and fellowship with the great God in heaven. That's what it was. It was an unlimited love to take hold to Adam and Eve and those who would follow, that they might develop into a God-like people. And that's why we're here this morning, to partake of this. It's the attention of God to you and to me that we might develop. It's just only a part of sex. This is only a section of God's love to it. It is unlimited. So when we go into Exodus 24, we realize that from the beginning of creation until the people were taken out of Egypt. You go through scripture, my brothers and sisters, you will see that God is not limited in his attention. He raises up people. He raises up men that they might be saviors to God's people. So where we go into chapter 24, we now have God's attention motivated and brought about by a man called Moses. And the people lack their full attention to themselves and to the God who is far away they cannot see. So he said to Moses, you come up to the mountain and I will have a conversation with you. And the conversation will be directed towards your people. And you will go back and you will preach to these people. And you will tell these people that I am committed to your attention and spiritual welfare 100%. Moses, you will come up to this mountain not once. You will come up 7 times, maybe 8 times. You will come up to this mountain, and I will write upon a stone the thing you tell the people, and you tell the people that I'm teaching them these things for their spiritual welfare, that they might be a part of my kingdom that come upon the earth. And so we read in Exodus 24, and God told Moses, said, Moses, you and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu, you come to the mountains, This is what we have to do, brothers and sisters. We don't have to belong to things that are earthly. We have to be climbing the mountains constantly to be in touch with our God, and we don't do this. If we don't make this spiritual exercise of walking to the high places, then we are fatal. We are belonging to the dust of the earth. And so God said to Moses, you come up. And he went up there, and we read in 24 and verse 7, and Moses took the book of the covenant, the book of covenant, or the agreement between God and his people. You read it. Understand the word covenant, and you will see that I have an agreement with you. I have agreement with myself to preserve you for my kingdom. And Moses took the book of the covenant and read it in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord hath said we will do, and be obedient. And we know only too well, don't we, brothers and sisters, that that didn't last for long. And they said, Lord, all that we do, we will, all that you say, will we do. And so this is why I removed the covering of the bread and wine. And brethren says, you can't do that, brother. It's part of the Christadelphian history to have these things covered. And when I sit at the back and I try to involve myself in things which is spiritual, these coverings, they irritate me. These coverings should never be upon the bread and wine. They belong to things which are false religion. They belong to the Catholic Church. And the Brotherhood of the Christadelphians should have seen to it a long time ago. They should have seen a long time ago that they should have been removed. Now, people may be irritated by this, but it is the fact. When I sit there, it irritates me to see this here because it speaks of things which are evil. It's a distraction to me. How can I see my Lord and my Master when they're covered by things which are false and ignorant? And it's the same with all things. We all have that problem, that when we partake of the bread and wine, we are distracted by many things. And so it is, my brother and sister, I discussed it with many people, and they said, oh yeah, Brother Matt, but we have to have it. Why do we have to have it? Well, the flies. The flies may come on this. Don't give me that garbage. One fly hovering around, away waiting for the presiding brother to remove the covering so he could touch down on the bed. I don't like that. It's phony. And that's the kind of things we have to clear ourselves of. And so we should be able to do this. It's the same with not alone the clothes, but you're sitting, I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking a brother's exhorting, and I feel terrible because I'm thinking about where I'm going to lunch. I'm thinking what appointments I have with doctors, whatever is next week. It all clouds into me. And God taught the people. He said when they came out of Egypt, he said, you leave all the leavened stuff, all the rotten stuff, all the things that you take. Don't think anymore about the good times you had in Egypt. Don't think about the benefits you had at that time. Think where you're going. You're going to the mountain of the Lord. And that's where you should be. And so it is, we should endeavor spiritual exercise when we come and look upon this bread and this wine. We should try to empty ourselves. And that's when Israel came out of Egypt, and God told them. He said, all that leaven, he said, you leave it behind. Leaven is not good spiritually, as we know in this way. And so we are exhorted in many ways. Brother Mike, he's a bit of an authority on the different feasts and that. And so I have had a little trouble over this last week, trying to figure out the feasts, just for my own interest. And he explained to me, so there were so many feasts. And it wasn't that I wanted to know the order of the feasts, but I wanted to realize and tell you why all these feasts came about. There were lots of them. And then my wife and I were doing the readings. We do the readings in a different way. We go through, straight through the Bible. And now we're into the book of Leviticus. And we keep saying to her, why all this law of Moses? All these different parts of the law of Moses. the many feasts, the order of the feasts, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the Last Supper. The Last Supper is on the 13th of Nisan. And then we get the Last Supper and the Passover. We get the Unleavened Bread. We get all these different ones. And we said, my wife and I said, why did God put all these things before the people to keep? I said, because God cannot trust us to be on our own for a period of time. And it was the same with the law of Moses. He said to Moses, you're going to give all these different feast arrangements for the people. And Moses said, why, Lord? Why can't we have one just the end of every week? And then God would say, and what are you going to be doing the other days? Where's your attention going to be the other days? So what is this? God bombarded the children of Israel, with things to do, to have their minds centered every day upon things which were heavenly, things which were godly, so that the people could blend in with his thoughts and with him as a living God, our Heavenly Father. That's what it was. And that's why my mother, when I was a boy, told me, you kneel before your bed, and you're going to pray to your God and tell him what things you need. Why do I do that, Mother? Because you've got to remember your God and what he's done for you. And to this day, I do that. And to this day, I should do more. So I want you to turn to Luke 22. Luke 22, and you'll be familiar with the contents we had read this morning. And in Luke, we are told it's the Last Supper. Remember all those feasts given to the people for the reason of keeping there. And so it was in Luke 22, we'll read. Yes. The wrong chapter. Now the Feast of Unleavened Bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. There together all those different feasts. But the Feast of Unleavened was a special bread. But then we have the Last Supper. When the chief priests and the scribes sought out, they may kill him. We know what is going on at that particular time. But I like the reading of this incident rather in John. So I'm going to go to John 13, and you're going to go to John 13, because you're going to sit at the table of the Lord, and you're going to examine yourself, and you're going to lean upon your brother and say, brother, is it I that is doing this to my Lord? And that's the exhortation that comes out in this way. So in John chapter 13 and 21, we read this. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit. Right away, we see that that Jesus is affected, because he knows that his brethren have not been harmonizing with him in many things. He knew that his brethren had wandered away from the things of it. He knew that they didn't understand all things. And he knew it because they haven't given full attention to him, spiritually, in their association with one another. And so in verse 21, it said, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you, shall betray me. Notice that word, betray. Then the disciples looked one upon another, doubting of whom he spake. Now we're leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. He loved them all, but more so John. And Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who should. Hey, John, ask Jesus if it's me. Simon Peter, like all of them, knew that they had denied their Lord. So Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. Then he, lying on Jesus' bed, said unto him, Lord, who is it? Tell us, so we can remove them from this ecclesia at this time. He then lying unto his precepts, and the Lord of it, Jesus unto him, he it is whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And so we know that this was the situation it was in. One of them should betray him. And around the table, we have two scenarios. What we have those who would deny Jesus and those who betray Jesus. And we want to be forceful in this remark at this time, because what can happen, brothers and sisters, that denial can lead to betrayal if we have full attention upon things which are heavenly. Denial can lead to betrayal, and betrayal can lead to being cut off from entering into the kingdom of God. This is how serious it is. Jesus knew what was happening at this time. And so we had that wonderful psalm read for us, Psalm 41. And remember how that psalm is telling us by way of exhortation what could happen quite easily of these ways. And Jesus is saying, don't be smart, Peter. John, you better re-examine yourselves. You're my friend, but my friend, even my friends, can lift up the hill against me. For Psalm 41, verse 9, ye mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, and how he trusted Judas, how he trusted Jesus to take care of the money, how he trusted the Judas to use the finances of right. And but he says, which he did eat of my bread, he lifted up his heel against me. Satan, the evil one, lifted his foot or heel against me. And so it was, because we know that Judas, as he went in on, recognized that he was the one. And after he partaken of the bread, I believe he took of the bread, and when he taken of the sop that Jesus did with the herbs and that into the little bowl, then we know that Matthew went out, and the darkness and the light were restored into the upper room. And so it was in this way that the Apostle Paul, remember, who said, and it's carried on, the theme is carried on, right from the Garden of Eden, right to the time of the establishment of the Ecclesia. We know the Apostle Paul takes this up, and he says, well, let's read it. He says that there is things that have to be purged out, not alone in the ecclesial, but more so in the individual lives. There is a leaven which we seem to harbor in our hearts, and it has to be cleansed out. The Jews would clean their houses to remove anything that was unclean in this way. And we have to remove anything that's unclean from our house, because we never know when Jesus, the unknown guest, will come into us. Are we going to get caught unawares? Are we going to face it the same as we know in this way? So we read in 1 Corinthians 11 and 28 these kind of things. He said, Paul says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And in this particular way. And so the trouble is, brothers and sisters, the exhortation is pointed at me, which may be an exhortation need for you. Brother Harry Tennant always said, we're talking about ecclesial now, that when this is a special day for us, then everyone should be in attendance to it, apart from our sickness or problems, difficulties of that kind, which is true. But we should make this effort, not alone here, but at all meetings of the ecclesia. And we say, why, Brother Mac? One brother said to me, I didn't go to Bible class last week, and Brother Mac, I was tired. I said, you were tired? Jesus rose up early in the morning with his door open to entertain and everything. You were tired? Couldn't you get a sufficient strength from the Lord your God to give you the strength to be here to support that young brother who had devoted a lot of time to prepare a talk? You were tired. And Brother Tennant, I heard him more than time throughout England. He would say almost in every exhortation, the fault of the brotherhood, the fault of your ecclesia, he said, is because we have too many Sunday mourners. Lord, is it I? That's what Harry Tennant said. And people took a notice of this brother because he was so respected. There are too many Sunday morning members, and that is the weakness of your ecclesia. And so this is why this is interesting to remember at this particular time in the house of our God. These things are not easy for us to deal with. It's not easy that, as we know, to live a God-like life. We can blend in so easy. We know that when working with a number of men, how easy it is, if we're not careful, to blend in with things which are earthly instead of heavenly. The guys I worked with, they knew we don't have any special meetings, and I'm not boasting it. I'm just illustrating the way it should be. They always said at a business meeting, when we had the rep meetings from the representative down, we can't have it on Thursday night because Brother Matt goes to, and they don't call me, but, and they say Matt goes to his Bible class. He goes to his Bible class, that's it. And we gotta have him here, so that's the way it is. I'm not bragging, I'm just trying to show you that this, and when we mix with our friends, they must know that we are first given to the service of our Lord, and the rest will fit in as we go. And so we remember that it was difficult, and it is difficult, my brothers and sisters, I sympathize with you, and it was difficult for the brothers and sisters of Jesus' time, the ecclesia. And we know that they said, Lord, these things are hard saying. And the people say, Brother Mark, it's hard for you. You keep telling us we've got to do all these things. It was hard for these. And what did they do? They denied their Lord. And it, scripture says they were far away, far off. They no longer walked with Jesus because of this. And Jesus said, not Brother Mark. Jesus said, when you can, you should meet with me on the first day of the week. Jesus says this. And why did Jesus say this? Not that he can say, look, I got all these people following me. Jesus says this because he wants us to appreciate what he's done for us, and he wants us to be a part of his kingdom. And so the followers, they were scattered abroad in this way. So we have it in this way, and this is the message today is, I want to, that if you deny your Lord long enough, you're going to betray him, because when he returns, as we know, he tells us in the Matthew, let's just go Matthew 20, 25. Because what I want you to show is that it's interesting, when I was doing a little research on this, it's interesting that the last supper that Jesus had with his brethren, what was the subject? Denial. Betrayal. And you can imagine how Jesus went to the cross. And there must have been tears in his eyes. And he says, is my sacrifice in vain? Where is Peter? Where are the others? And he said, there they are. Way out there in the safety of the outskirts. They don't want to get involved in this at this time. And so we remember that as with the closure of the Last Supper, there was a subject of denial and betrayal, that when Jesus returned, what's the subject that's raised immediately right then? It's the judgment day. It's the judgment day. And we all, because of the responsibility, have the knowledge that we have brings responsibility, and we have to go before Christ our judge, whether we like it or not. And so in Matthew 26, we have that discourse that we may be a part of. So we remember, I said, when we come before, when we when we come before Jesus on that particular day, it says this. Verse 34 and 31, thus saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep of the flock. They shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you. And you remember the instance it recorded of the judgment day. And the people come before. We don't know how it's going to be, but the people come before Jesus. And Jesus says, looks upon them. And Jesus says to them, well done, my friend. You've exposed yourself to this, what has happened, and you've done well. How did I do well, Lord? Because you gave full attention to me. How, Lord? Because you visited the sister who was sick. You visited the brother who needed. You helped another one. That's the way. You didn't do it to them. You did it for me, so that my sacrifice was not in vain. And then do we remember not? Do we remember not that those on the left, where did Judas sit at the table? Judas sat on the left side of the table. John sat on the right side. But Judas was there on the left, and he will be there on the day of judgment. Because Jesus says, go to my left. Go, you will not be allowed into this kingdom. Lord, why not? Because you never gave full attention to me. You denied me when it was necessary for you to take to follow in my footsteps and take on that responsibility. So this is the way it was. There's a beautiful, the many stories came out of the Second War, many of which we are part of. But one incident was in the Midlands, which was bombed heavily, Birmingham, Coventry, and some of our members know. There was terrible, 42, there was terrible destruction in a certain city. But there was a story went around in that city that there was an angel. There was an angel living in a certain street. And that angel was a sister of Christ. People lacked food. People lacked clothes. People lacked the loss of a loved one. And where did they go to? They went to this lady on this street. She became known publicly as the angel on a certain street. Isn't that beautiful? And that's the way our love should be. And so in the as we enter into this ritual now, spiritual ritual, of partaking of the bread and wine, we shall remember the words of the Apostle Paul when he says, before you partake of this, purge out the old leaven. Purge out the old way of life and live again in Christ. And that was Paul's advice to us. Paul denied his Lord, as we know, when he took the believers and put them to prison. Paul denied Jesus more than once. Because he said, Lord, people, when I would do good, evil is present with me. I have this spiritual warfare every day. And the only way I'm going to destroy the enemy is to concentrate, to have an attention in this particular way. And so what do, brothers and sisters? We partake of the bread and wine at this time, knowing that it's God's attention and desire that we should do it. So when you partake of that bread, and when you look into the mirror of the wine, don't look at me, because I'm a sinless person, a sinful person. Don't look at me. Look in your heart. And you ask not me, you ask your God, Lord, is it I?